I invite you to turn tonight in your Bible to Mark chapter 1. Mark 1 as we pick up there where we left off last time. Mark 1, looking tonight at verses 40 through 45. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. Let's listen now to the Word of God together. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to Jesus, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter. The grass withers and the flowers fade away, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Well, the Gospels are full of surprises. Over and over, Jesus is teaching things, he's doing things, he's promising things, he's responding to things in surprising ways. And of course, not everyone likes surprises, and not everyone liked Jesus' surprises either. In our passage this evening, we find another one of those surprises that no one would have seen coming, where the holy touches the profane, where the clean comes into contact with the unclean. And when that happens, not only is the clean one not contaminated, but the unclean one becomes instantaneously healed and whole. Tonight is the story of both the might and the mercy of King Jesus. It's a great story. We're going to consider it in three parts this evening. First, the leper's request. Secondly, the Savior's response. And then finally, what it means for you, what it means for me. So let's begin with the perspective of the leper himself, looking to begin with at his condition. Mark records for us simply, "And a leper came to him." Dr. Luke, formerly a physician, in his account, tells us a little bit more detail, saying that this man, who is unnamed, was full of leprosy. And what we can be assured of is that anyone there in that time and that day, when they see this man approach, would have known easily that he was full of leprosy and that he had been for a very long time. It was beginning to take its toll on this man. Leprosy was a horrible disease. It affected the eyelids and the palms. Gradually, it would spread over the body, causing terrible sores and swellings. And from the skin, the disease then would go and eat inward into the bones, eventually rotting away the entire body. Children, one of the symptoms of leprosy was that one could not feel pain. Well, maybe you're thinking, well, what's wrong with that? Well, a lot of things are wrong with that. God has made us in such a way that we are able to feel pain to protect us. A leper cannot feel pain, and so would be prone to hurting himself in ways that we ordinarily wouldn't. And this would also take its toll on these individuals. It was a truly horrible disease, physically, as we've already mentioned, but also as it related to the ceremonial system under the old covenant. Look with me back at Leviticus for just a moment, chapter 13. There's an entire chapters devoted to the unclean laws, including leprosy. Leviticus chapter 13. And verses 45 and 46. So Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46. The law says, "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." He could live with other lepers, but that was it. He couldn't live with ordinary people, lest they be contaminated by this disease. And so the very ceremonial law segregated anyone who had leprosy from the rest of society. I learned this week, I didn't know this before, that lepers were allowed, there was a provision for a leper to actually attend synagogue, provided that a screen was available. I don't know what this looked like, but some sort of a screen of separation to essentially quarantine them from anyone else worshiping in the synagogue, which almost in a sense would have been worse than just not being allowed to come at all. To have leprosy had deep social ramifications. R.C. Sproul comments, "Once a person was pronounced to be leprous, he was forced by law to remove himself from all contact with healthy individuals in the community. This meant a life of banishment, a life in exile, removed from family and employment. It was, he says, a truly miserable existence." Another one says, "The leper was not just ill, he was outcast. He had not simply lost his health, he had lost his family, his friends, his home, his livelihood." He concludes, "No one would, indeed, no one was allowed to associate with him." So ravaged by this horrible disease, called unclean by God, and then removed from society, all alone, or at least with other lepers in a colony, what a terrible existence. What a difficult life. Mark tells us in verse 40, "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.'" I mean, the fact that the leper came to Jesus at all was absolutely not allowed. Jesus could have rung him up on charges that very moment. He had no business coming close to Jesus. He had no business leaving his community. This was absolutely socially and ceremonially unacceptable. But he's desperate. And desperate people do desperate things. The language Mark uses is he implored him. He begged him. He pleaded with him out of desperation. He knew that he had absolutely nothing to lose at this point. And so begging him, pleading with him, imploring him, he kneels in front of Jesus. Just picture the scene as people are standing around watching this unfold. He's kneeling, crying out to Jesus. He had no business being there. And he says to Jesus, "If you will, you can make me clean." Isn't that remarkable? He knew that Jesus, somehow he knew that Jesus had the ability. Had he already witnessed some of these healings that Jesus had been performing, casting out demons? Perhaps, but unlikely, since he would have been outside the camp. But maybe it had gotten out. Word had gotten around. And so he became convinced that Jesus had the ability. The question was, are you willing? Are you willing? Those are two different things. That he could is one thing. If he would is yet another. And so here Mark paints a picture for us. This leper comes, unnamed man, with this terrible disease. Alone and isolated, ostracized. And he comes up to Jesus and he breaks every social rule in the book. And he cries out to Jesus that he might be healed. Well, notice the Savior's response. Notice Jesus' response. In verse 41, we are told that Jesus was moved with, it says, pity. Moved with pity. That's a word that could be translated compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. It's interesting. The word can also mean anger. The word can also mean anger that is translated in our text here, pity. It could be translated, Jesus was moved with anger. Now, why would that be? Maybe he was upset that he had to deal with this fellow. No. Could it be that he was moved with a righteous anger as he witnessed firsthand with his own human eyes the ravages of sin and disease? Could it be that that's what Jesus was responding to emotionally? He was filled with this righteous anger, even as he wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. Weeping because of what sin does. Not to say that there is a one-to-one correspondence between sin and having leprosy, but leprosy is a picture of the brokenness of this fallen world. Jesus here is moved with this emotion. He's moved with this righteous anger. He's moved with this pity, this compassion. And he, verse 41, Mark tells us, this is so remarkable, I think. Jesus stretches out his hand. And don't miss this. He touches him. Jesus stretches out his hand and he touches the leper. Now, nobody touches a leper unless you're another leper. The clean cannot come into contact with the unclean, or else you yourself will be unclean. You'll be contaminated. Think about this for a moment. Try to get inside the emotions of this leper, this man. He probably hadn't been touched for years. I want you to think about that for a moment. Not being touched for years. And Jesus here stretches out his hand and he touches the man. Did Jesus have to touch him? Jesus, the divine, that is, Son of God, by the word of his mouth, brought all things into existence. He didn't have to touch him, did he? He could have simply spoken, be healed, and it would have happened. It would have come to pass. So why did he decide to touch the man as a part of this healing? Because Jesus entered this broken world to carry our sorrows. Because he is filled with compassion, because he became one of us. And he touches the man as if to say, not only do I have the ability to do what you want me to do, but I care. And that's so important, isn't it, to know? In your life and in my life, not only do we serve a God who has the ability to heal, to restore, to equip, to change, to transform, to fix, to forgive, but he cares. He cares about you more than anyone could. He knows you. He knows your situation. He knows what you're feeling. He knows your experiences. He knows your troubles. This man was totally quarantined from society. He was, we might say, an untouchable. But as one author reminds us, there are no untouchables in Jesus' ministry. There are no untouchables in Jesus' ministry. There is no one so bad that he or she is outside the reach of God's grace. It's an encouragement tonight as some of you grieve for your adult children who are walking not in the Lord, but away from him. He is able, and he cares about you, and he cares about your heart. Mark tells us he said to him, after stretching out his hand and touching him, he says in verse 41, I will, I am willing to do what you would have me to do. I'm willing to answer your request in this way. Be clean. Jesus, you see, is not only able to heal this man, but he is here willing to enter into the suffering of this particular individual and then to extend a hand of healing by way of the touch. We have a willing Savior. He is not willing that any should perish, but that everyone should come to eternal life, Peter said. But he's also mighty. He's also powerful. He's also Lord. He's also King. Verse 42, Mark tells us, and immediately, that's Mark's favorite word, but don't miss it. Don't take it for granted. And immediately, right away, it didn't take time, the leprosy left him and he was made clean. He was made clean. Thoroughly clean, completely clean, immediately clean, truly clean. And not just ceremonially clean either, but truly, sincerely clean. Not just externally. You see, Jesus here was pointing out how he was superior to the Old Testament. He actually calls the man to go and return and go through the cleansing ceremonies that were written in Leviticus. If you had leprosy and you had to go back to, you know, the priest and all of these sorts of things, Jesus was showing him, he was showing the world that whereas under the old covenant, the priest could pronounce a man clean, Jesus could actually make a man clean. You see, his authority is so much more impressive than the strongest of men before. Jesus isn't just saying, well, we'll consider you clean. He actually makes him clean. Jesus doesn't just work on the outside. He works on the inside. He cleanses our guilty consciences. See, Jesus is remarkably here, not contaminated himself. He is filled with such power and authority over these things He has come to fulfill the ceremonial system. Yet isn't it striking the picture that we find here in this healing of this leper? See, as Jesus reaches out and touches this man, it's as if the purity of Jesus is transferred to him. And it's almost like Jesus is preparing us for what will transpire down the road when he will go to the cross in saying, "And I'm going to become unclean for you." Jesus is transferring. Jesus is giving him his, we might say, his holiness. He gives us his holiness, his righteousness. And Jesus will then take on our sin. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So this leper comes to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling, "If you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus is moved with pity because he cares about him, because he loves him, because he is entering into his experience, his world. And he stretches out his hand and touches him and says to him, "I will be clean." And immediately that is what he is. He is clean. So what does this finally, what does this mean for us tonight? As we open and unpack this passage of Scripture, this event that happened so long ago, what does it say to us this evening as we listen to it? Well, it reminds us, doesn't it, that we are infected with spiritual leprosy. The leper is a real life picture of the ravages of sin. J.C. Ryle had this to say: "What are we all but spiritual lepers in the sight of God? It has eaten away at our vitals. It has infected all of our faculties. Heart, conscience, mind, and will are diseased by sin. From the sole of our foot to the crown of our head, there is no soundness about us, but we are covered with wounds and bruises and putrefying sores." You see, sin makes us unclean in the sight of a pure, holy, righteous God. It isolates us from Him and from others. Here we have a picture of what sin is and what sin does. But more than that, we also learn from this unnamed individual, this suffering man, this leper, whose desperation leads him to the shocking appearance and request. He didn't care what people thought of him. He had nothing to lose. Let me ask you this evening a question. What, if something is, what on earth is keeping you from crying out to Jesus for mercy? Is it embarrassment? Fear of what your friends will think? Is it shame, telling yourself that there's no way he could save me? Is it your youthfulness and thinking, "I'll figure that out when I'm older"? What is it? What is it? We have to come to this point of desperation, don't we? We have to see that we are the ones who have nothing to lose. By coming to Jesus, we have everything to gain. Romans 7:24, Paul says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Of course, he then says the answer is, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ." Don't miss this. The leper knew that Jesus could make him clean. Do you? Do you know that tonight? Do you know that Jesus can make you clean? I don't mean just save you, though I do mean that. Do you know that Jesus can save you? Do you know that Jesus can heal you? But do you know that Jesus can also sanctify you? That He can enter into the darkest recesses of your soul, of your body, of your heart. And He can reach down and He can heal you. Do you believe that tonight? That He can heal you of your addictions? Maybe it's pornography. He doesn't just get to the externals. He gets to the heart. If you cry out to Him in desperation, you believe that He can heal your broken marriage, not just the externals, but the very heart core issues. Do you believe that Jesus Christ can not only save, but He can make you pure by His Holy Spirit? Why aren't you crying out to Him? Why are you putting up with the sin in your life? Why am I putting up with the sin in my life? Instead, we should be like the leper and we should cry out to Jesus for mercy. Phil Ryken says, whatever healing we need, whatever sin is troubling our conscience, whatever sorrow is grieving our hearts, whatever relationship is making us anxious, Jesus is able to touch the hurting places in our lives and make us whole. We need to cry out to Him. You see, here's the truth. There are really no untouchables in Jesus' ministry. He is not only able, being Almighty God, but He is also willing, being a merciful Savior. You see, when you come to Him in desperate faith, as this man did, He will heal you immediately. All of your sins are forgiven. And His righteousness then is credited and imputed to your account. Just as Jesus gave this man new skin, so He will clothe you with His righteous robe. And you then are no longer an unclean outsider, isolated, but a purified, holy child of God. But you see, Jesus surprised everyone who watched Him that day. No one saw this coming. And some derided Him. But others believed in Him. Will we believe in Him tonight? That He has the power and the willingness to save, but also to purify, to sanctify, to cleanse. He's willing to reach out His arm of grace to heal you. Would we be those desperate people who come begging, kneeling before Him? If you will, you can make me clean. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the marvelous gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who we have learned a little bit more about tonight. That He is both merciful and mighty, transcendent and personal, holy and one of us, who is able and willing, who is in control, but also sympathetic, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but is also our friend, who is altogether worthy of all honor and glory and dominion and power, but also is one who suffered. We pray that we would be drawn to this Jesus, and that in desperation and faith, we would cry out to Him and find healing and wholeness, the forgiveness of our sins, but also the power of obedience to say no to the things that entangle us and yes to the things that bring You honor and glory. We thank You, Jesus, for being who You are And as we continue our walk through Mark, may we be over and over again reminded of your person and your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.